is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, the radio station of the Bergen Amateur FM, pardon me, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is Whiskey 2 Tango 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 Gordon. I am currently mobile, but will be in a fixed location momentarily. And this is the TechNet. The purpose of the TechNet is to provide a forum to ask questions and get answers to virtually any topic related to amateur radio, or the radio electronics arts, or things related to them. The net is open to any radio amateur who is licensed to transmit the 2-meter band, and it's held weekly on Thursdays at 9 p.m. on the Bergen County FM Association repeater in either Paramus or Franklin Lakes on a frequency of 146.79. The PL is 141.3.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay. In any case, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association is a very active club. We have four nets a week, 10 meters on Mondays at 9 p.m. on 28350 upper sideband. On Tuesdays on, I believe, 443-100, or 444-100. It's been bouncing around a bit, but I believe it's on a Hackensack machine right now, 443-100. And again, that PL is 141.3, and the net is at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. General purpose chat net. We also have another general purpose chat net on the 2-meter band on this frequency on Wednesday nights, again at 9 p.m. And we hope that you can join us for that as well. And it's a lot of fun to get in there and exchange news of the day, as it were, especially the amateur radio news and news related to amateurs you know or should probably get to know. The format of this net is a little different than the others. Again, you need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. You only need be licensed to transmit in the 2-meter band. And you need to have a call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above. So we'll make a roll call and ask for you to check in. And let's see, I'm yawning a bit here because I had a bit of a heavy meal an hour or so ago and paying the price for it now. So, in any case, we're going to do the check-ins now. Again, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. I do want to point out that whether or not you have a question or a comment, you should consider checking in because we find that the check-in list also gives us resources to turn to. In some cases, sometimes the people don't realize that we know that they have expertise that they might not otherwise feel comfortable volunteering unless asked. So knowing you're there is a big help to the greater number of participants who might have questions. So with that, let's begin. The station's beginning with call signs beginning with November. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2BAR, this is N2GOP, name is Glenn, and I have a question.
Okay, Glenn, you have a question. That's so noted. Good evening to you. Next station was November. Okay, station is beginning with Kilo. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2. BYB, Richard, no questions or comments at this time.
Okay, Richard, no problem. Any other stations with a Kilo call, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. Righty. Stations with an Alpha call, please call K2BAR. Stations with a Whiskey call, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
Okay.
Any other stations with interest in checking in the net, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
W2JEK, no comment. His name is Don.
Anybody else?
Steve, no question.
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP. Stuart, sorry for coming on late. I was on the phone. Just listening, no questions.
Okay, now we're getting a rush of stations. Stuart, good evening to you. Steve, good evening to you. And Don, good evening to you. Steve, real quick, do you have a question or comment for the net?
No question, Gordon.
Okay. In my haste to jot this down as I'm strolling down the road here, I wasn't sure if I had missed that. Alrighty. Well, we have at least one question for the net. That's good. Anybody else? This is K2BAR.
This is KB2ROX. And here's Mark. QTH is in Westwood. No questions or comments.
Okay, Mark, is that Romeo Oscar Sierra or X-ray?
Romeo Oscar X-ray, KB2ROX.
Okay, no problem. Got you covered. Alrighty. Any other check-ins for them, please call K2BAR. Hey, before we start with the question we have so far, I need to ask Glenn. Glenn, are you a 1N Glenn or a 2N Glenn?
2Ns, Gordon. I thank you for asking.
No problem. Be glad to get it right at least occasionally. Alrighty, looks like my son is not going to work tomorrow. Looks like tomorrow's his day off since he parked in the driveway. Alrighty, so, Glenn, your question. N2GOP from K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is N2GOP, and thank you for being there, and thank you for the TechNet. My question is regarding packet radio. I've just revitalized an old TNC from about 10 or 15 years ago, and an equally old radio to get everything to talk to the computer. I'm curious as to what activity is around unpacked radio in this general area. I think you guys are in Bergen, but I'm in Rockland County, so it's close enough for government work. So again, my question is, what packet radio activity is there in this area? Back to net.
Good question. There are several answers, however. One is there is some minimal amount of conventional packet activity on 145.01, 03, 05, 07, 09, and maybe on the 20KC rasters below 01, 99, 97, 95, 93, and 91. Although decidedly less than there used to be. So I would start by listening on 145.01 and see what you hear. The other thing that you might want to consider doing is to embark on adventure. I'm struggling for the acronym now off the top of my head, but APRS. If you do a Google search on APRS for Alpha Papa Romeo Sierra Amateur Packet Reporting System, you will find, I think they're on 144.39, is it? I'm trying to remember what their frequency is, but anyway, it'll tell you. There's all sorts of connectionless packet type stuff done. And it's not only just for locating things, but also for doing telemetry, weather, and other little quick one-line messages. A lot of the Kenwood radios are now coming equipped with the ability to do APRS in the radio itself, which is kind of cool. The THD-7A does that, and I think some of the corresponding mobile rigs do as well. Also, the Olinco radios have the ability, through that connector on the front, through that little sub-miniature connector, to take a NEMA feed from a GPS, and if it has the built-in TNC, to wrap that out from time to time through an Olinco DR-135, 235, or 435. I think they even have a dual-band version of the radio that has the ability to have that built-in TNC board. There's also an ability. There's somebody else who produces an internal TNC board that's actually better than Olinco's, and it might even be a few dollars cheaper, but has more features. I've heard tell about it, but I don't know. You have to look in the back of some of the amateur radio magazines about that. But APRS is fun, and what's nice about about not so much APRS, but the Olinco radios is that their internal modems, if you buy the modem option, will work at 9600, and it does work. I have one of those radios, and I've had access to them before, and they've been quite impressive to me, both the 1200 and 9600. So, let's do this. Glenn, I've kind of done a core dump of everything I could do off the top of my head. Let me see if anyone else would like to add anything to that, and then we'll turn it back to you. Anybody else want to comment on amateur packet on VHF?
K2GCL repeater.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. If Glenn goes to the website of the New York City Aries Races organization, they have a regular packet chat. I know the Bronx County does theirs on I think Sunday nights, but their whole schedule, frequencies and everything is right there on their website. You just have to go look through it, and you know, it's one of the pages and it pops right up, and they have a regularly scheduled at least two or three of the boroughs have different nights that they come up, and that's one way they test their equipment. It's just a regular, just rag true as far as I understand. This is KC2PYB.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Now, Glenn, I didn't ask you what kind of TNC you have and what radio you have interfaced with. I made the assumption it was VHF, but why don't I now crack a little more sunshine into this scene and let you tell us what you really wanted to ask us. So maybe you can enlighten us of what bands you're capable of operating this TNC on and with what radio.
Gordon, you did a good job. It was 2 meters that I was interested in for starters, and as things progressed, I would go from there as the needs and as the availability of activity dictates. It is an MFJ model 1278, which had the capability of doing several other digital modes as well as packet. It could do RIDI, it could do PACTOR, MTOR, and a couple of other goodies that escapes me right now because it's been, again, like over a dozen years since I played with it. And it's right now working into an old Yaesu memorizer, which is an FT-227, very simple and straightforward old radio, no PL deck, no nothing, which, of course, for packet you don't need. So it serves the purpose. So I'm getting my feet wet in it again, and I can also interface it with an HF rig because it's got two radio ports on it, so I could do HF work with it as well, but that's for later on down the line. K2BAR, this is N2GOP.
Ah, very good. Very good. I'm on my HT right now. Anybody else want to add anything to that?
I just want to check in.
We'll get to check in a moment, don't worry. I'm trying to get into my house right now. My sons have borrowed my house key off my keychain, so I'm a little betwixt in between here. So, anyway. All right. Don, can you hold, take the net for a moment and handle the check-in?
Yeah,
Okay, Gordon, this W2TTT, this is W2JEK. Okay, there's a station asking to be checked in. Would that station please come down with your call and your name, and then if you have a question, over.
Good evening, W2JEK. WA to CAI Mobile checking in. No questions, no traffic on.
Okay, Tom, very good. WA2CAI Mobile recognized. Any other check-ins for the Baratech net at this time? This is W2JEK standing by.
KC2FST,
I think it was. Will you come again, please? New name, name, and what, do you have a question? Over.
This is KC2SST, Sierra Sierra Tango. The name is Chuck, and I have no questions or comments.
Hey, Chuck, got you that time. There was a double with you. Who's the other station calling? This is W2JEK for the Baratech. That's standing by. Helmut, AA2BDU, and I got Tony before that. Helmut, both of you have no questions. Very good. Any other check-ins now for the Baratech net? This is W2JEK standing by.
This is K2ZO, Jim.
Okay, Jim, K2ZO recognized. Any other check-ins for the Baratech net? This is W2JEK standing by.
Is KO2 okay? Bennett, no question.
Okay, Bennett recognized. KO2 okay. Any other check-ins for the Baratech net? This is W2JEK, standing by.
N3CRT, no questions, no comments.
Okay, Charlie, N3CRT recognized. Any other stations for the Baratech net? This is W2JEK, standing by.
WA to CAI, I'm going to be out of the mobile for a few minutes. I'll be right back. WA to CAI, clear.
Okay, Tom, very good. Thank you for checking in. Any other stations wishing to check in for the Baratech net at this time, please call. This is W2JEK.
Tango, Tango, Tango.
Oh, we'll let you check in. Okay, are you ready to write? I got a few crew calls here for you.
Go for it.
Okay, the last one I think you took in was Mark, KB2ROX, and then it was followed by Tom, WA2CAI, was the first check-in that I took. He was mobile. He just stepped out for a minute. He should be back. After that, we had Chuck, KC2, Sierra, Sierra Tango, Tony, K2AMI, Helmut, KA2BDU, Jim, K2ZO, Bennett, KO2OK, and Charlie, N3CRT. Nobody had any questions, to my recollection. With that, I'll return net control to you, Gordon. W2TTT, W2JEK for W2BAR net.
Yeah, I was listening to that check-in list as I was romping through the house. Trying to get in and such. My one son, who's away at college, had borrowed my house keys at one point and put the house key back on the wrong place on my keychain. I couldn't find anything with my hands full, so my other son was kind enough to answer the door. All right, well, good evening, everybody. It's a rather lively net. All right, Glenn, I'm real familiar with the 1278, having been active in packet from the Vancouver board days, let alone the TNC-2 and then the various knockoffs of the TNC-2 and the Cantronics variants as well. So, anyway, fascinating, fascinating. Alrighty, and good evening to all. We've got quite a laundry list here. I'm just kind of curious, Glenn, I haven't heard the word memorizer in probably 15, 20 years. Where have you started to listen with that radio and the TNC?
Well, to tell you the truth, Gordon, I had to basically put things together from scratch and construct fresh cables for everything, interface cables between the TNC and the radio, and the radio itself had a bad power cable, so I had to get some connectors and wires for that. So at this stage of the game, everything is hooked up. I have an old laptop that I have terminal program in to finally get it talking to the TNC, and I just, by the time I finished the last project, was just making sure everything was working and lighting up without smoke coming out. So I was diligently writing as you were giving me frequencies, so when I get back to the next stage of the game, I'll be able to start listening and see what's out there.
Sure, I would give a strong listen on the APRS side. Now, since you do have a 1278, you do have the luxury of doing some HF work as well, and that's something I strongly advise to consider. See if you can get a hold of MFJ and find out if there are any software updates. Open up your TNC and find out what the get the board rev and the EEPROM rev in there, and see if you can go up online and either with the manufacturer or with somebody else. Just some of the online resources. See what you can figure out as to whether or not you should bother upgrading the unit. In any case, it sounds like a fun thing to do. Richard's point about the New York City Aries is probably the only lively keyboard-to-keyboard activity in the area on a routine basis. And I do believe, as he said, it's weekly on a couple of different nights, depending on the borough. So well worth your time. Alrighty, anything else on the subject from anybody else before we turn it back to Glenn for his last?
K2KCL repeater.
Okay, Glenn, you have anything you'd like to add?
First, again, thank you very much. You've given me a lot to work with. I'm grateful for that. Secondly, I was looking in on the hardware, and it's actually a rather sad story in terms of what's there. There was only one. I had gotten a firmware revision. There was only one that followed afterwards, and I don't believe there's a whole heck of a lot difference between the version that's currently offered. And they had a software package to use the, especially the digital imaging, the weather facts, and the other photo transfers and things like that. And originally it was done by an individual. It was taken over. The software was taken over by a company in Alabama who washed their hands of it in 2003. But there was one piece of the Multicom software left in demo at AES. I just ordered that up today, and it's on 3.5-inch floppy. So the laptop that I'm using is running Windows 98, so I don't think I'll have an issue with that, considering it's older software. So it shouldn't be a total loss, but I thank you very much, as always. Fantastic net here on Thursday nights. I'm glad it's here. K2BAR, this is N2GOP.
Good Lord, Glenn, Multicom. I haven't heard that. Oh, dear me. That's like saying, Arc 5 to Jim. Sorry, Jim. Oh, dear me. that's pretty cool. Actually, it's more like saying, mid-70s Plymouth Duster to Charlie. Anyway, I'm being awful here. Oh, dear. All right, very good. Well, thank you for your kind comments. What makes this net really rich are the folks who check in. So I believe that we are a week and a half from our next club meeting, and I encourage people to come to the Red Cross building on Sunday night, a week from Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, which will be the 7th. And we'll have a nice gathering around 7, and the meeting will start at 7:45. There's coffee and cake and other yummies that people typically have around. And feel free to bring something if you like. That's always good, too. It won't go to waste. We seem to have the ability to eat cake of one form or another, usually the yummy kind of cakes, not the super sweet ones. But anyway, it's an observation. So, anybody else have a question or a comment for the net? Any announcements they'd like to make? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
K2 BYB. Go ahead, Richard. KTBAR.
Yeah, I have one question. I've been looking through on the internet. Is there a multiband HF J-pole antenna?
Good question. I'm thinking that maybe, if not a J-pole, aren't some of the gap verticals, you have some J-pole elements? I'm trying to remember. Anybody know? This is KTBAR. Okay. Perhaps not. A couple of weeks ago, there was a discussion. I don't know if it was on the radio or it was on the telephone, but I was having it with, I believe, KC2KXV, and who seems to be missing, probably lost in transit from Chicago. He's coming back tonight. And in any case, I was musing to myself that, gee, I have a 45-foot tower and about 21 feet of masting sitting above that, and then on top of that is a G7-144. I'm not so sure how much of it is DC or not, but or DC grounded, but the bottom line is that I had the opportunity to essentially make a J-pole element, you know, the short element, offset from the tower, and then feed it, so I'd have an elevated J-pole for, let's say, 20 meters or 40 meters or something like that. So I think it could be done with an existing structure. What is your what are your design criteria for doing this?
I was just looking in case this ATIS-120 fails. Right now it's out there. It does take commands from the radio. Its performance is really bad, but I have not grounded the radio like it says to do. So, you know, I'm going to try that. There was a comment made, well, why don't you just put a J-pole out there? That's fine, except the only J-poles I could find, which, you know, I could probably hang from inside the house, are on 2-meter and 440. I found one for 10 meters and one for 20 meters, but nothing so far that would encompass all the, you know, most of the popular HF frequencies.
Well, think about it. You have to have one element that's, what, 5/8 long, another element that's a quarter wave long, you know, separated by some nominal distance. So, you know, these things are big. I mean, quarter wave at, you know, 40 meters is 33 feet. That's just for the short element. So, you know, not going to happen really easily, so people need to apply some thought to what they're mumbling about. As far as that goes, I would think that you might consider one of the tuners, such as the LDG 100 or 200 Pro, which require no interconnecting cables. They're just smart enough to sense the RF and do the job. And with a 4-to-1 balun on your wire antenna, you can pretty much load anything. I use a little tiny antenna tuner to get into the general neighborhood of the band I want, and I have a little tiny tuner that also has a 4-to-1 balun in it that I can use if need be. And that kind of front ends for the LDG if I need to use something really outrageous. The other approach is see if you can find someone who has a compatible wire tuner for that, something akin to an AH3 or an AH4 for the ICOM family.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, W2JK. I remember in one of my English radio magazine, radio books, it's either the GQ Uppies antenna book or Practical Wire Antennas, the description of a J-pole for 10 meters, and of course, they have the quarter wave section, the matching section, and then there's a halfway section on top of that. So that makes, you know, 10 meters, that's going to make the thing about about 24 feet tall, a 10 meter man. And it's a lot of aluminum to put up for the amount of what you're getting out of it. You might think of a dipole even, or a quarter wave vertical with some radials on it to work it. And depending on your physical situation, I think that's what you have to think about, is what your physical situation is going to be. Anyway, back to that W2JK.
Is there someone else who wants to say something?
K2AI.
Tony, go ahead.
If I understood, his initial question was, is there a multi-band J-pole available that can still... And a J-pole, by its very nature, is cut to specific frequencies, unless you happen to work with multiples of that frequency, as you do with the case with 440 and 2 meters. I know that some J-poles will work on those two bands with the slight modifications. And there definitely isn't any low-band J-pole that'll work on multiple frequencies that I can imagine. You might get some effect with a significant tuner, but you could do that just as well with a single rod of a fixed length that you, an axle length that you can get out the window or out the balcony. The problem that the gentleman has is that he's on a balcony. He's trying to get some sort of balcony antenna that would be multi-band. Back to that.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay. Well, they do make or have designed multi-band J-poles other than ones that are, you know, odd harmonically related, let's say between like 2 meters and 440. There's a thing called a copper cactus. If you do a Google search on copper cactus, you'll see a couple of designs that are multi-band. I mean, you have to treat them with care, but you can do 6 meters, 2 meters, 222, and 440 in the same antenna. And there's various issues associated with feeding them with a common feed point versus separate feed lines. It's actually easier if you feed them with different feed lines. But it's theoretically possible to do. If you had a tall main element and then just tapped into it with J stubs all around it for various bands, and the lower you are on the big element, the lower the frequency is that you're going to be able to handle. So, I mean, you could conceivably build an HF one as well. But for situations, let's say you build a 40-meter one, you could probably just use it without too much trouble on 15 meters. One for 80 would probably work well on 20. It has some issues, but anyway, it'd probably work okay on 20. I don't know how well it would work on 10 or on 40. I think even though for the odd harmonically related ones, you'd have to think about where the RF is going, and I'm not sure it's as low to the horizon when you're using a longer antenna, if you will, on a higher frequency. So let's say 2 meter antenna being used on 440, it might get a nice SWR, but is the RF going straight up? I don't know. I'd have to look at some antenna models and see where that would go. Maybe someone knows. In any case, so that's pretty much all I have at this moment. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on this subject before we hand it back to Richard?
Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey.
You go right ahead.
Yeah, just a comment on a way to improve the performance of that, your current ATAS 120, which is really only half the antenna. That's just one half. You need to put another half of the antenna below it in order for it to get it to work. So if you're mounting it on your car, you've got the car body. But if you're mounting it on the balcony, my suggestion would be to cut some radials for it, quarter wavelength in length, and string those from the base of the antenna from the shield side of your coax, and then run them back into your apartment or droop them down alongside the you know, outside the wall, which would be even better, depending on your situation. And you might find that the performance of that antenna improves significantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? The KC2PYB. Your follow-up, sir, from K2BAR.
Okay, well, the situation I have is I don't have a balcony. I live on a fifth floor of an apartment. Right now, the center is out on the air conditioner. The manual does say that is not a good, they don't recommend that, that's not a good way for it to work. And it goes on to say that the radio does need to be grounded when this antenna is being used. What the gentleman was saying about the radio, is he saying you should cut into the jacket and solder on different leads or wires, he called them radials, to the metal jacket of the cable?
Negative. You want to go to the base of the antenna and attach them there.
Basically, the antenna screws right down onto the mag mount. So where would you attach them on that? You'd have to put some kind of ring on there with the radials on it then.
Okay, the center conductor of the coax is attached to the antenna that you have. The rest of the base, the part that's not attached to the center conductor, probably has either a magnet or some screw lug or something that, to which the shield is attached. At the point where the end of the coax is attached to, whatever that something is, whether it's probably a big fat magnet and a lug on that magnet, that's where you would ideally want to attach your radials. If you don't want to do that, you could conceivably bond the mag mount directly to the body of your air conditioner frame, and just screw the radials into the frame with a couple of self-tapping screws.
JK.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, right where the coax goes into this antenna, I presume there's like a SO239 coupling of the antenna, and your coax would be coming up there. You clip the wire onto there, the quarter way long, or just using a clip. I know it's not a good solution, but that's one thought of how to do it.
Yes, K2PAR. What you have is the coaxial cable goes right into the ceramic base. There's no screw in to that at all. There is the only screw in is where it comes, you know, on the other end of the cable where it attaches to the radio. And then there's, you know, apparently, you know, there's a magnet inside there someplace, and it goes up, and there's a about a 5/8 or whatever screw lug that comes up through the middle of the base, and the antenna screws right down onto that.
Okay, done. Okay, I'll take it from here. All right, so basically, if you look at the bottom of your mag mount, there's usually some sort of protective plastic or whatever. If you had peeled that away, and I'm not suggesting that you do, but if you peel that away, you would find that the center conductor of the coax is being fed to the to your antenna, and the shield is being bonded through a lug directly into the big magnet that's at the base. So what you need to do under the circumstances is to maybe tap the top of your mag mount with a provision to put in a big screw, and then put some wire lugs under that screw, each attached to a radial, preferably at the frequency of the lowest frequency of operation. If you have a limited number of radials, then that's no problem. And what you can do is, you know, you can get one for the band that's the longest, let's say you're limited, lowest, I should say. And then from there, add other ones that are maybe at operating higher frequencies, but you've got more radials. So one will be a profound difference for any band of choice. So I will say that, Richard, okay?
Comment.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, a simpler way to test this out is just to connect a piece of wire with a clip lead to the back of your radio, to the chassis of your radio, which is essentially connected to the shield of that coax. And the coax is would be part of the radio, and the rest of it coming back down off the back of your radio would be the rest of it. Now, you lay that inside your house, or if you can stick it out the window and let it droop down, that's even better. You're probably going to get some RF in the house, so you want to be mindful of your power levels and use, you know, try it out and see how it works. You know, you don't want to be interfering with folks or yourself. So that's probably the quickest way to see if it makes an improvement, and I suspect it will.
Okay. I think that's yet another compliment, but certainly better than what you've got.
And take off transmitting again.
We know
that,
Richard, I'm sorry.
Okay, like I was saying, this K2 PYB. All I have to do is clip it onto the back of the connector of the radio where it screws in, and then let the wire droop out the window and close the window back and take off from there.
K2GCL repeater.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Okay, approximately how long would these wires have to be?
What band would you like to operate, Richard?
It's a multi-band radio, but I'd like to operate on 20, 40, 10, you know, 80. Not a hog.
How long can you make the wire and get away with it?
Well, you know, whoever sees this thing dangling down as the window in the apartment below me may say something. But most of the time I'm home during the day or I'm on at night, so if the wire was like, wasn't bigger than 16 or 18 gauge, I mean, you know, I don't think they'd see it even.
Comment.
Go ahead.
That's W2JEK. I did some operating with a 40 meter dipole. Half of the dipole was out over the deck of my mother-in-law's condominium down in Pennsylvania. The other half of the dipole was strung around the upstairs bedroom where we were where the operating site was. So basically, I had 33 feet of wire outdoors and 33 feet of wire indoors. A very short piece of coax to a QFE transmitter, and I got out all over the place with it. So, you know, with that, you might to eliminate some of the problems of the radials hanging around it. I'm indoors, and also you have the ability to either make a short radio, say about 16 feet to 20 meters, and then clip on another 16 feet or so for 40 meters, or radial, either that or have multiple radials for different bands, and have them available inside the running one way or the other inside your location. Back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, you also have to figure the length of coax you have, and that's part of the radial as well.
Yeah. That's what I say, it might be more of a complication to do it right off the back of the radio. But it certainly could get done. Richard, do you have the ability to, kind of from the back of your radio, looping hither and yon, maybe put 20 feet of wire, like under the carpet or along the wall somewhere, going from your radio in some other direction other than where your coax is going?
That's correct, yes I do.
Do that.
Okay, yeah, there was a gentleman, I think, last night. I believe his name was Jim. It could be the same gentleman who was on this evening, who I was going to catch up with on Kit Night. He's the first person that that I've met that's actually operated out of an apartment. And he was saying that, you know, just shove the wire under the carpeting or around the room and hook it up that way. So, no, but you've given me a lot of good information here tonight. I haven't poo-pooed anything. Out the window is possible to an extent, and also under the carpet. So there's two good methods. Would I still be able to use this antenna? In other words, I would use this antenna, tune it in, let it tune to whatever frequency it's on, you know, that we're operating on, and then attach the counterpoise or whatever you want to, a radio or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. You've given me a lot of great information. I'll be at the hardware store tomorrow when they open. This is KC2PYB.
Yeah, it'd be interesting test to do it with a clip lead and clip lead, put the clip lead on, put the clip lead off, look at your received signal strengths, and then also have the station you're talking to give you a report with it on or off. So anxious to hear how you make out. Good luck.
Hey, Richard. Check up on your HF signal, and I'll bet you when you touch the back of the radio, you know, with that wire, it magically your noise level is going to go up.
Okay, well, noise I get plenty of. I like to hear, and I can hear people talking in the background, you know, way out, and but I know you've got to improve the performance of the antenna because they're only like a foot and a half away from the building itself, or maybe 2 feet from the building. And like I said, you know, we're having, you know, and the radio itself is not grounded yet. So I'm going to first ground the radio probably tomorrow or Saturday, and then I'm definitely going to be on this radial counterpoise suggestions that you gentlemen have come up with. This is KC2PYB.
Okay. Very good. I think that'll be very interesting to see how it goes. I'm actually doing an experiment in the blind here. I'm trying to... I don't have my television on my DVR for Fios here in the shack, but I decided to put the speakers on since I know what certain channels are, so what the heck, why not? So we're trying to... that all squared away. Just trying to figure out where my Verizon Fios controller is. And I found my DirecTV controller, and I can't find my Verizon controller, actually. Anyway, anybody else? Questions, comments, confusions? Here's my Verizon controller. It's W2TTT.
W2TTT, K20.
Yes, Mr. James.
Yeah, I operated out of an apartment when I was in college, and you gotta be resourceful. But all of what everybody has commented here works. Very fine wire, a very small fish weight, modeling clay on the end of it so it doesn't bang into a window. Stick it out with a fish pole. That was one half of the antenna, and the other half antenna just ran back along the floor and over to an antenna tuner. And then if I had any problem, I just put a quarter wave counterpoise on the back of the radio. I was able to make more than 100 DX contacts doing that.
Really, that's amazing. That is awesome. So needless to say, you had a good good experience with that. My apartment experience was different. I wasn't an HF operator at the time, and so I was highly constrained but highly privileged. I had the ability to put up a mast against the back of the building right outside my window, and whatever I could put on that mast, as long as it didn't cause RFI, I could use. So I had an omnidirectional 2-meter antenna, a 2-meter Yagi, 440 Yagi, and I think that's it. Nothing could be I had no rotational capability. The Yagis were pointed in a very specific packet for voice. But that was it. And I think I had a... I think I eventually slipped a wire out the window and to it that was all of maybe 40 feet high. And that was all I had, but that was huge. And that was just for shortwave listening at the time. Anyway, that's been a couple of subjects. Anybody else with add-ons, please call K2BAR.
K2AMI, with an announcement for Barra?
Absolutely, Mr. Tony.
Okay, I just want to point out a couple of things that were general information I pointed out last night on the other net. But we are going to have a program coming up this coming April the 5th, I think, or April the 6th, this coming April the 6th, this coming, the first Sunday in April. And it's going to be on a X-beam. Apparently, Mike Smolders, W2NSL, I think it is, and also NTCG will be building a 6-meter X-beam as part of a demonstration of how to do it. Apparently, they'll have a piece of pre-cut to show you how to put it together. So that's going to be our program for our next Barra meeting. And then right after the Barra meeting, there's a couple of things coming up on Earth Day. We have a River Edge run here in River Edge on Earth Day. We need a couple of volunteers who want to stand on street corners and observe the runners and their welfare. There'll be a sign-up sheet on Sunday at the Barra meeting. Or if you can't make the meeting, want to give me a call, I'd appreciate it. Also on Earth Day, Fred KO2FB will be doing a demonstration or a special event station at a Hawthorne High School. Details, I guess Fred would know, and I think Steve knows a few of those details. Back to net.
K2GCL repeater.
Well, that's great. What's the date of Earth Day or the celebration in question?
Well, that's Saturday the 5th, from what I understand. At least that's what I've been told, although I haven't seen it on the calendar.
Okay, so that's the first Saturday in April. Well, that has possibilities. I know last year, I think we were away with the Boy Scouts that year, but this year I think I can actually do that. So let me check the schedule and see if we can make ourselves available. That's good.
April 12th, not the 5th. April 12th for Earth Day in Hawthorne.
Well, now I'm back to that scouting team again.
Sorry about that. Steve is right. April 12th for the Hawthorne and for the River Bridge run. Over.
Well, last I will be away that weekend with the scouts. Well, it's kind of funny that I was talking to someone about service projects, and they were talking about possibility of somebody's Eagle Project having a political overtone. I said, no more than Earth Day, and they saw my point. Okay, let's see. Alrighty. Thank you for that announcement. One other thing is next Wednesday, I guess it is, I'll be speaking at the 1070 meeting at their normal Wednesday monthly get-together, and I'll be giving kind of an enhanced version of the Aries talk that I gave to Barra, primarily because it's 3 months on and have more than an hour and a half to prepare for it, or an hour and a half notice to prepare for it anyway. So we'll be on with that, and the Aries net will follow on the second Monday of the month, at least through April. And let's see, some other quick Aries news. We're going to have, probably another month, we'll have the ability to go up online and order your Aries vest, and also to probably go online and note your certifications if you finish the ARRL communication, the emergency communications courses, or the FEMA courses, or some of the others. So they'll all be listed there, and if you put one up that's not registered and we don't have on the list, we'll be adding it to the list. We have the ability to enter it anyway, so that's moving along as well. And what else? You also have the ability to sign up for ARES online and update your information that way as well, which is kind of cool. So, anything else for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net? This is K2BAR.
K2AMI, one more announcement.
Go ahead, Tony.
The Cherryville Repeater Association down in, I think it's Clinton, New Jersey, Clinton High School down there. Their flea market is coming up. That's on April the 5th, okay? And Saturday before the fire meeting. Pretty nice flea market generally, but it's an hour away.
Yeah, Cherryville is very nice. Actually, I think it's this Saturday is Timonium, too. Down in Maryland, I know of people who are getting it up at ODARC 30, driving down, attending the Hamfest, going in for a nice, comfortable lunch, and then turning around and coming back before dinner. God bless them. Had I thought about it a little bit, I probably would have gone down and visited James for the weekend and then turned around and taken him up to Timonium, come back to Washington on Saturday evening, crash there and come back Sunday, but alas, alas, I have other things to do this weekend. Alrighty. Apparently I'm going to have to get a TV on this set-top box in order to drive the menu right, because I think the default setting for the internal audio coming out of the set-top box is set very, very low, because I have a set of speakers on the set-top box, but I don't have, I'm plugged into the output. How many of you ever plugged a set of speakers to an input and wondered why nothing came out? I just did that. Silly me. Okay, that pause was so that you all could chuckle at my expense. And, let's see, any other subjects for the TechNet, please call K2BAR. Okay, I do want to draw some attention to something, and I don't have dates yet, but it's coming up in early April. There'll be on a Monday night, there will be a 2-meter sprint. A week later, there'll be a 222 sprint on a Tuesday. A week later, there'll be a 440 sprint. And then over the next two Saturdays, there'll be either a microwave sprint or a UHF sprint, you know, 900 and above, on a Saturday morning. And also a 6-meter one on a Saturday night in the spring. So those of you who have VHF, UHF radios and want to see what you can do, the sprints are fun. They're 4 hours long. The evening sprints are 7 to 11 Eastern time, and a whole lot of fun. And the microwave sprint is something ridiculous, like 6 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. You can operate like 5 hours out of it. It's a little different. But the 2, 222, 432, and then 50 megahertz sprints are, generally speaking, on sequential Saturdays, with the possibility of having the UHF one or the microwave one in between the 440 and the 6-meter one. And they're a lot of fun. So I strongly advise to get yourself rocking and rolling. Heard the bands open a little bit on 6 meters today, and I was listening to the FM07 beacon on 2 meters all day long today. It didn't matter whether it was raining or not. I heard the beacon all day long here in the shack, so signals were pretty good today. Anybody else with things for the net, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I think if there's nothing more for the net, I'm going to close. So last comments, questions, confusions for that, please call K2BAR. Okay. Well, I'd like to congratulate N3CRT on getting his extra. I had heard that rumor yesterday, and from an extremely reliable source. In fact, it was from Charlie. So congratulations to you, Charlie. and hope everybody had a good Easter and a good Purim. And what do you call it? Spring has started to sprung, and we're going to get some snow tonight, but nothing major. So, Godspeed all, and thank you very much for your time and attention. See you a week from Sunday at the Barra meeting, or maybe next Wednesday at the 1070 meeting. In the meantime, this is K2BAR, thanking N2GOP, KC2PYB, W2JEK, WI2W, KC2SQP, KB2ROX, WA2CAI, KC2SST, K2AMI, K2BDU, K2ZO, KO2OK, and N3CRT. This is W2TTT, your host for K2BAR, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Wishing everyone a fine evening and saying 73.